All right. All right, let's go ahead and stand one last time, and I'm going to read Ezekiel 22:30 first. Ezekiel 22:30, then we'll flip over to Job chapter 1. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now I want you to look at that verse one more time before we flip over to Job. God is speaking here. He said, I sought for a man among them, among the, just everyday men, that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me, God says, for the land that I should not destroy, but I found none. Flip over to Job now, chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let me draw your attention back to verse 10 there for our text this evening. Satan answered to the Lord, he said, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Listen closely tonight as I try to preach to you this message entitled, The Hedge. The Hedge. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you tonight for your help. Lord, we're all gathered here tonight together, English and Spanish, and I pray, God, that you would give us understanding in both languages. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would do the communicating for me. Lord, a message that so desperately needs to be heard and preached by everyone in this church. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me, fill your people. Please cast aside all of the distractions, all of the labor and weariness, God, please. Open up our hearts and our minds, our ears, our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. A hedge, most of you understand it to mean, it's a border that goes around something, usually a property boundary. Okay, it's used around a property as a landmark, to mark the boundaries of the property. It's also, however, used to, many times it could be a fence. It could be even a wall. But what it is, it's some type of enclosure. You know as well as I do, those of you who have any hedges or seen hedges around the yard, hedges are there. And they mark usually mark either the porch or the yard boundaries, or maybe the front. But they mark some type of boundary. In this case, in the Bible, these hedges mark a line that those that are inside are not to get outside, and those that are outside are not to come inside. In other words, it's a restrictive boundary, such as maybe a fence. It's used to keep out on the outside of the hedge that which has no business inside. It's used to keep inside that those which have no business going outside. It's a boundary. Are you getting me? Do you understand so far? So, in our text here in Job chapter 1, Satan, the Bible says in verse 7, is going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. I want you to understand something. Satan, our adversary, is a roaring lion. Lion seeking, hunting, whom he may devour. That's what Satan was doing here in Job chapter 1. He's looking. How do I know he's looking for someone to devour? Because the very next verse, the Lord said, how about Job? God knew what Satan was doing. We ought to understand what Satan is still doing today. Going around, up and down, left and right, all over, notice, the earth. And we know from the book of 1 Peter that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In essence, listen to me tonight, he's seeking those who are outside of their hedge. I want you to pay attention to me tonight. I'm going to try not to preach real fast. I don't want to lose anybody. But I want you to listen to me tonight. I brought everybody in here together for a reason. Satan is seeking those who are either outside of their hedge or whose hedge has been let down. Whose hedge has been let down. He's seeking. He's looking. Satan, I want you to understand something. From the book of Job, we can see here that Satan knows. Please don't miss me tonight. Satan knows when you are hedged about, and Satan knows when you're not. Satan came to God and said, God, I can't touch Job because there's a hedge around him. He knew there was a hedge. Then God said, okay, I'm going to let the hedge down. And then guess what? Satan knew exactly what to do. He knows when you are in the hedge, and he knows when you are outside of the hedge. He's watching. He's watching. The hedge. Satan is watching. Job's hedge was up in verse 10. Job was inside his hedge, and God had his hedge made around Job. And Satan knew it. Hast thou not made an hedge about him? Satan knew it. But hey, listen to me now. Don't miss me. Again, I want you to please pay close attention. I know it's hot. I know you're tired. But please, I'm begging you as your preacher, listen to me tonight. Job's hedge was up. But listen, Satan really wanted Job bad. Because as soon as God said, hast thou not considered my servant Job? Satan said, oh yes, I sure have. Oh, I sure have. But that hedge you've got around him, I can't get through it. Satan had already been scouting out Job. He already knew Job had a hedge. He already wanted Job badly. And as soon as God said something about Job, Satan was all over it. Why did Satan want Job so badly? Was it because of what Job had? Listen to me tonight. The reason Job was such a target for Satan, pay attention, was because of who Job was. I want you to notice now, God says about him in verse 8, "Hast thou not considered, or hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. A perfect," now that doesn't mean sinless, that means mature. "A perfect and upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth," that word "escheweth evil," that means he gets rid of evil. He gets away from evil. Okay? He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God and he hates evil. Listen to me. He was a man that was right with God. He was a man that was living for God. He was a man that was in touch with God. We'll find that out later. He was a man whose heart was perfect with God. And Satan was licking his chops. Satan could not wait for God to let down that hedge. Satan was as a lion looking, but not just for anybody. He was hungry after Job. Job was a special servant of God. Job was a very special servant of God. Listen to me. Job was a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Job was a threat to Satan. Job was a problem to Satan. And he was dying to get past that hedge. Job was not just an ordinary man. He was a special servant of God. I want you to remember, these are just some introductory thoughts, but there is no indication in all of the book of Job that Job knew about this conversation. In other words, Job had no idea, listen to me, that Satan was so hard after him. He didn't know what was going on. Remember, Satan and God were talking up in heaven. Job's down here just being Job, being right with God, serving the Lord. But up here in heaven, Satan is talking to God. God and Satan are having a personal conversation about this man, Job. He had no idea what was going on, but listen to me, but he just did what he knew was right. He stayed right with God. He didn't know when the attack was coming. He didn't know that it was coming, but he did what he was supposed to do. Job did not know what was going on in heaven. And listen to me, you don't know what Satan's planning for you either. Please listen to me tonight. Don't go to sleep on me. You do not know what Satan is planning for you right now. But I guarantee you, you're sitting in church on a Wednesday night with your King James Bibles, I hope. I'm not going to look around because then I might get discouraged. With your Bibles open, listening to the preaching of the Word of God, you're here on purpose. Nobody made you come. You are here serving the Lord. You're tired from school. Well, work, no more school. I get that right. You're hot. But listen to me. You got to understand, Satan desires to have you. To have you. And you don't know when it's coming. You don't know how it's coming. But I want you to understand from this message tonight, it's coming. Amen. Job had no idea that God and Satan were literally talking about him. I want you to notice verse 10. Satan says to God, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" This hedge was put there by God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This hedge was put there by God. This was a God's hedge. This was a perfect hedge. This was God's perfect work. God's hedge. But I want you to remember the verse we just read a minute ago in Ezekiel 22:30. Don't turn back over there. But God said, "I sought for a man to make up the hedge." God is the builder of the hedge, but He uses us to help make up the hedge. He uses us to help make up the hedge. For example, He uses your preacher to pray for you. He uses your preacher to pray for you. Daddies, listen to me. He uses you to pray for your families. To stand in the gap. To make up the hedge. Listen to me. We all have a part in this hedge. Daddy praying for his family. The preacher praying for his church. The church family praying for their preacher. Mommy's praying for your children. Listen, God uses us to be a part of this hedge, this protective boundary. What's the big deal about this hedge? Quickly tonight. The hedge is used, number one, to possess and be able to retain God's blessings. Look in verse 2. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Boy, he had a great family. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This man, Job, was a blessed man. He had a tremendous family. He had many, much livestock. He was the greatest man. In other words, he was probably the richest man in all of that region in that time. He was a rich man. He was a blessed man. He had a healthy family, many children. And listen, God's hedge allows me to possess God's blessings instead of them passing through my fingers. For example, this is a cup of water. And I'm telling you one thing. On a hot summer night, this is a blessing to the preacher. That water. Your lips get dry, your mouth gets dry, and you, every once in a while, because you talk a lot when you're preaching, that is a wonderful blessing to the preacher. But you know what the cup is? The cup is the hedge. The cup is all around the water and underneath the water. Now, I could try to hold this water in my hand. I could get a few drops. But what happens to it? It just goes through my fingers. However, in this cup, it's right there waiting for me. It's retained. Now I got water all over my nose. But see, I can take a drink of it. I can use, because I'm not, listen, this is a great blessing. But if I try to hold it in my fingers, all it does is I can maybe get, that's a little bit. But the rest of it's gone. But in the cup, it's hedged about. In the cup, it's retained. So the blessings of God, I possess the blessings of God, but I don't just possess them, I can retain them. I can keep them from just falling through my fingers. The hedge is there so you can retain God's blessings, so that you're not just getting blessings that are fleeting, that just come in and go out the back door. The hedge of God is there to help us keep the blessings of God, to help us retain the blessings of God. Listen, I possess Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He is in my heart. He is hedged about in me. I am the hedge for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a fleeting hitchhiker. He's not coming one day and leaving tomorrow. He is in here. I have Him in my heart. Christ is in me.
Amen.
You see the difference between religion says, well, I'm going to be good today and I'm going to try to hold on to my salvation. However, listen to me, the hedge of God is completely different. Not only do I have the blessings, but I can retain them. I'm within the hedge. Job's blessings were tremendous within the hedge. The hedge of God allows me to possess and retain God's blessings. Secondly, listen to me now, the hedge also protects me from Satan's attacks. Again, look in verse 7. Look in verse 7. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Satan could not get to Job because of the hedge. The hedge around Job was protecting him from Satan's attacks. This was the only thing that was protecting Job from Satan. This hedge. As soon as the hedge was let down, Satan, notice what it says here in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Verse 13. So God said, I'm going to let the hedge down, but you can't touch him. Verse 13. And there was a day. Now stop right there a minute. This was the worst day of Job's life, because the hedge was no longer there. I'm trying to hurry here, but I don't want you to miss this. Satan took Job's servants, his oxen, and his asses. In verse 14, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So right off the bat, Job finds out on this one day that his oxen, his asses, and his servants were taken away, killed and taken away. So it was like somebody just came up to Job and stuck a knife in his gut. And then on the same day, look now, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So here comes the number two dagger. Satan took all of Job's sheep and the servants that were with him. While he was yet speaking, in verse 17, there came also another. This is all on the same day. And said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That's the third knife in Job's belly. While he was yet speaking, in verse 18, There also came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, the fourth one is the biggest and the worst. All your children are dead. The very day that the hedge was gone, he lost it all. Now, you're probably asking me, why did God do this? Okay, that's... God did this to teach you and me. Don't miss this. God did this to teach us the value of that hedge. Did you hear what I said? To teach us the value of this hedge. The importance of being in the hedge of God. The very day he lost everything. Notice in verse 20, then Job arose. What did that mean? That means Job was on the ground. He lost all his money, all his income, all his servants, and then all his children. Are you kidding me? In one day, I'd be on the ground too. I'd be on the ground too. The hedge was the only thing protecting him from Satan. It was the only thing. It was the only thing. It helped Job retain God's blessings. It helped protect Job from Satan's attacks. Another reason this hedge is so important. Because, listen now, don't miss this. It keeps us in God's will. It keeps us in God's will. Now, I want you to please listen to me tonight. I'm trying to go slow, but I don't want to drag this out. But God, listen, verse 8. Look in verse 8 of this text. Again, Job chapter 1. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? What an example of the believer. Perfect, upright, fear God and hated evil. Listen to me. Listen. That is God's will for all of us. That is God's will for all of us. Job was such a special man. Job was such a special servant of God. Yes, he was. But God tells us all to be the example of the believer. We're all supposed to be perfect, upright, fear God, and hate evil. That's God's will for Christians. And you see, that hedge kept Job right there in God's will. Let me say something to you about God's will. It's not always easy. But it's always right. It's not always easy. But it's always best. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 7. Don't turn there. Just listen. You can write it down. But it says, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. God puts a hedge around us on purpose to keep us in God's will. Now, hold your place and look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The hedge to keep you in the will of God, the hedge is to keep your mind pure. Now, the Word of God says that God's will for you and me is good, acceptable, and perfect. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how bad of a day you have. You must stay in God's will. Because your worst day in God's will is a million times better than your best day outside of God's will. I think we can see that from Job's life. Again, we see what God is teaching us. The hedge keeps us in the will of God. There were miserable things going on outside of that hedge. When Satan got in that hedge and attacked Job, the things that were made Job who he was were completely obliterated. He was on his face on the ground. He was brokenhearted. Everything he had was gone. It doesn't matter how discouraged you get. Stay in the will of God. It doesn't matter how bad you cry, how many tears you shed. Stay in the will of God. You will never regret something more than getting out of the will of God, trying to fix your feelings, and then lose everything. Then, how are you going to feel? It doesn't matter how long the days are. It doesn't matter how much tears flow. It doesn't matter how hard it is to pay the bills. It doesn't matter how many children that you can't seem to get under control. It doesn't matter what you do. Don't get out of the will of God. Amen. I think God's teaching us that in Job's life. The will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Nowhere did it say it was cushy or comfy or easy. Nowhere did it say it felt wonderful, but it's perfect. It's acceptable to God. It's good in God's eyes. Again, don't forget now, in that hedge, I get to not just possess, but retain the blessings of God. In that hedge, I'm protected from Satan's attacks. In that hedge, God keeps me. Stay put, he says, in my will. It's always right. In God's will is protection. In God's will is perfect peace. In God's will is His presence. In God's will is knowing that I am His and He is mine. In God's will is fellowship. In God's will is help. In God's will, turn back to Job. In the hedge, in God's will. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Before the hedge was down, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, speaking of his children, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Notice, thus did Job continually. Those burnt offerings offered up to God, that's a picture of prayer. Okay, we don't have to make burnt offerings anymore. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. Our ultimate, last, final sacrifice. So we pray to God through Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. Whenever you see offerings in the Old Testament, it's a picture of prayer for us. And Job was making offerings. Job was praying for his children. There was continual fellowship with God in God's will. Oh, church, listen to me. There is no money in this world worth getting out of God's will. There is no pleasure in this world worth getting out of God's will. There is no entertainment. There is no comfort. There is nothing in this world worth getting out of this hedge and getting out of God's will. Nothing. You've got to listen to me tonight. Quickly. This hedge keeps us in God's will, keeps us put. This hedge also prevents us from wrong relationships. Prevents us from falling prey to wrong relationships. Again, verse 10, I'm not going to read it again. But Satan said, you put a hedge about him, I can't get in. Satan could not get in, nor could any of Satan's devils, nor could any of Satan's army, nor could any of Satan's people. In the Bible, when Jesus had his supper with his disciples, he looks up at Judas Iscariot after they were done. He said, do what thou must do. And the Bible says that Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Satan entered Judas Iscariot. So from that point on, everything that he was doing, Satan was doing it. You say, well, he wasn't saved. I know that. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church in Jerusalem. They lied, they cheated, and they died that day. And the Bible says, Peter told them, Satan hath filled thine heart. They were Christians. Now, you say, well, I thought I couldn't be possessed. I'm not talking about being possessed. I'm talking about letting yourself be controlled by Satan. I'm talking about letting yourself come under the control of Satan. How does that happen? I'll tell you how that happens. It happens most of the time through other people. You don't learn your behavior from sitting in a room by yourself. Amen? You don't learn your behavior. You don't learn your accent even. Those of you who speak English and Spanish and have an accent, you don't learn that from sitting in your room by yourself. You don't learn cuss words by sitting in your room by yourself. You learn the behavior that is against God from other people. How do the children know how to lie, cheat, steal? They learn it from other kids. It's in them already. It's our nature. But we learn the behavior. We learn how to develop it. We learn how to use it. We learn how to lie from other people. Are you listening to me tonight? So God's hedge was keeping other people away from Job who were going to negatively influence him. He kept Job. He prevented Job from having wrong relationship. If Satan himself is not on you, he will send someone that has allowed themselves to be influenced by the devil and filled with his evil, and he will come to you through them. Please pay attention to me tonight. Sometimes God uses this hedge to keep us from going out of the hedge ourselves. This is going to be a book that we don't use very much. Hosea chapter 2. It's right after Daniel. Okay? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2 verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil, my drink. What we have here is a picture of a Christian who's going out after the wrong kind of people. I'm going to go out after the people that I want to be with. Verse 6. Therefore God says, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, notice this now, don't miss this if you're listening, if you're watching. Verse 7, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. God uses a hedge of thorns sometimes. God does things in your life that scrape you up a little bit and say you're heading in the wrong direction. And He's trying to get you to turn around and say, you know what? I was better off back here than I was out there. He uses thorns, thistles. He uses things that get your attention. You can't walk through a thorny rose bush without noticing it. It gets your attention. And God gets our attention sometimes when we're heading in the wrong direction. And He says, wait a minute, you're going after the wrong relationships. You're going after the wrong people. You're going after the wrong kind of relationships. You need to turn around and go back to your first husband. Who is our first love? That's Jesus Christ. The hedge, it prevents us from falling into wrong relationships. The hedge protects us from Satan's attacks. The hedge keeps us put in God's will. And the hedge helps us possess and retain God's blessings. This hedge is pretty important. Back in Job chapter 1, verse 2. Let me show you the proof. Proof that you're in the hedge. Verse 2. I'm going to use this and then we're going to go look some other verses. I'm almost done. But I don't want you to lose. Don't go to sleep on me. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, that's all I want to show you there right now. But the proof that you're in the hedge is that you are producing fruit. God uses this hedge so that we will produce fruit. You say, those are children. Yes, exactly. Those are physical fruit. God wants us to have spiritual fruit in our lives. God wants us to produce fruit. Turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 1. Mark chapter 12, verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a what? An hedge about it. A vineyard is for what? Fruit, for grapes. I know some of you aren't there yet, but I'm hurrying along. A vineyard is for grapes, for fruits. And he set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husband and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit. The vineyard is planted for one reason, church, to produce fruit, but he put a hedge around it on purpose. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. The proof that you're in the hedge is that your life will begin to bear fruit. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. I'm hurrying along, so I'm giving you a few minutes here, but speed your fingers up. Isaiah chapter 5. Now, will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. There it is again. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. Now I want you to notice it says in verse 2, he fenced it. What's a fence? A hedge. All right, listen to me. It's a boundary, a border, a fence. He gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein. He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. God wants our lives to bring forth fruit. And He puts hedges around us to bring forth fruit. God's hedge. Now, I want to ask you something. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 said, I sought for a man to make up the hedge. I sought for a man to make up the hedge, and I found zero. There are very few Christians today doing their part to make up the hedge. Look at Mark chapter 14. I promise you, I'm hurrying, but I don't want to skip anything. Mark chapter 14. Verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have none, but me you have not always. Notice in verse 8, she hath done what she could. Church, listen to me tonight as I close. Is that your testimony before Christ? Have you done what you could to make up your part of that hedge? Satan is just, listen, he's just looking. Remember, he's the serpent. He doesn't need a big gaping hole. All he needs is just that little bit to slither in there, and he's in your life. He's all over your family. He's all over your children. He's all over your church. He's all over your heart. All he needs is that one little bitty hole to sliver in there. And I'm afraid today that, listen, God says, I'm looking for somebody to make up the hedge. Because without the hedge, you are completely wide open. You are vulnerable. The blessings of God fall through your fingers. Satan has open territory just to run to and fro all over your life. You don't know what God's will is. You don't stay in God's will. Every time you get out of God's will, you get out of His hedge. You're messed up with all kinds of wrong relationships, people that are completely wrong for you, that are terrible influences in your life. And God's trying to prevent you, telling you, listen, there's a hedge right here. There's a hedge that I have made for you. Get back in the hedge and stand in the hedge and make up the hedge and get back to praying for your family and get back to praying for your children and get back to praying for your church and get back to participating, serving God. down in the hedge or you are done for. Done for. Are you doing all you can do? Some of you aren't doing anything. And you're not even... The hedge, you don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm trying so hard, so desperately to help you tonight. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have a time every day where you open up the sword of the Lord? How are you going to fight Satan? Do you have a hedge? Are you doing your part? Satan is just looking for that one little bitty hole. And as soon as you stop doing your part to make up the hedge, can Christ look down at you and say, I know you're doing what you can do. Is that our testimony? The minute we let down our guard, are you praying for your family? Are you praying for your children? Are you in God's will in every area of your life? Are your children associating with the right people? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you faithful to church where the man of God preaches messages like this to help you? Are you, and is there any fruit in your life to prove it? The following is a true story. In Mexico, kidnapping is very big business. Broad daylight, vans pull up beside pedestrians walking along the sidewalk. They jump out. They put bags over somebody's head. They throw them in the van. They keep them covered. They drive them to a secret hideout. They take all their belongings away, their jewelry, and they take their phones. Everybody has a phone anymore. Of course, they watch the people ahead of time to make sure that they have a phone, that they're a prospect for kidnapping. When they get the victim to the secret place, the hideout, they take all of those things and they take that cell phone. They take it to the man, the boss. They take the cell phone away and they take it to the boss. There you go, boss. There's another cell phone from another victim. He then takes the phone, and you know, you can find out a whole lot about somebody from their cell phone. A whole lot. He takes their cell phone. This is a true story. And he begins to look through their pictures, their videos, their contact numbers, their most frequented websites. And he gets to know that person. And the reason he's doing all that is because he's going to call one of those numbers for ransom money. That's how they get their money. This particular lady was kidnapped. She was drugged down to the house. She was, of course, they're scared to death because these men are not honorable men, and especially the ladies, you understand. But one day, this very faithful member of a very good, strong Baptist church there in Mexico was kidnapped. She was taken down there. All of her belongings were taken, just like always. Her phone went to the boss man, and he began to look through her phone. And on her phone, he found a video of her son getting baptized at their church. And he told his men, he said, "Whose phone is this?" And she, of course, they went and got her. And he said, "Leave me alone with her. I want to talk to this lady." Of course, all of the men went out. It was just her and the big man. And she, of course, thought the worst. But he pulls out, he says, "Is this your phone?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes, I am a Christian." Of course, she's scared to death, but she doesn't know what's going on. And he asked her, he said, "Is this your son getting baptized?" "Yes, it is." And he tells her this story. Now pay attention. He says, "Ma'am, I want you to have your phone back. I want you to get all of your, everything that we took from you. And I'm going to tell my men to take you back where they found you and not lay a hand on you and let you go." And she said, "Why?" He said, "Ma'am, I'm a pastor's son. And I grew up watching my daddy baptize boys and girls just like this. I'm not going to hurt you. You're free to go." She got let loose, and that's how we know the story. Two things. This pastor's son, put your Bible down. This pastor's son is now running a kidnapping ring in Mexico. Somewhere, he got way out of the hedge. Somewhere, either his daddy let down, or maybe when he was an adult, he just decided, "Forget this hedge! Forget it! I'm going to go do my own thing." And now he's running a kidnapping ring in Mexico. Second thing. This lady, who was a faithful, godly member of her church, had a pretty good hedge around her. This is a true story. Folks, that hedge is no laughing matter. Don't you ever take for granted the hedge that God has around you right here in this church. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, our hearts are touched tonight. We're humbled before you, Lord, understanding how important this hedge is. God, so many of us are not doing anything to make up our part of the hedge for our homes, our church, our own hearts. Father, some people may be on the brink of getting out of the hedge. Getting out of your will. God, tonight, I know it's a Wednesday night, but Lord, this is what You wanted me to preach. Father, tonight, would You break our hearts? Push us, draw us, pull us, whatever You need to do, back inside the hedge. Back in our places. To do our part to make up that hedge. Father, I pray You'd bless this invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Let's all stand together. Piano begins to play. You know what God has spoken to your heart about. Don't ignore Him tonight.